We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Blessed greetings and love, Jody. Welcome to Bob Radio. How you doing?
Up for Brother Carlos. Give thanks for the link, give thanks.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Well, Jody is a bass player for Zionite Kings. He's toured the world with all kinds of musicians that you know. Most notably, recently, he's done a lot of work with John Nine. And Zionite Kings have been producing music for many, many years. And we'll talk about Zionite Kings and Zionite Productions in a little bit. But, Jody, I wanted to talk to you about and let our fans and listeners know, how did you get involved in music, and more specifically, how did you get involved in reggae music? How did you, is there a song that you heard that got you interested into it? Was your uncle playing records for you? You heard a neighbor playing some reggae music? How did you get involved with reggae music?
Well, music, yeah, from a very young age, like 7, I started playing violin. Through high school, I played guitar in various rock bands, and from maybe around 10, I was already hearing, maybe 9 or 10, I was hearing Bob Marley, but not really associating it with the genre of reggae music, just kind of hearing it on rock and roll stations, and my older brother had records and these kind of things.
Okay.
So I used to listen to Bob even from a young age, but never really associated it with the genre, just kind of listened to it as just, you know, music.
Another artist like Led Zeppelin or Rush or whatever.
Yeah, like whoever. Exactly. Yeah. Those were two very, very influential bands for me as a young musician too, the ones that you named.
Yeah.
Led Zeppelin and Rush, especially Rush. But yeah, just another artist. And I got further into reggae music maybe around 16 or 15. Mostly with like Culture. I remember I heard Baldhead Bridge was one of the first LPs I ever heard that was non-Bob Marley reggae.
Okay, right on.
Yeah, and then basically around the same time, Vernon Spear, Marcus Garvey.
Wow.
And then I put down guitar and picked up bass basically around the same time too. Like once reggae music started really penetrating me, and you know, I started playing bass at the same time, and I was forwarded into the philosophy of Rastafari and learning of Haile Selassie the first. Mm-hmm. same time too.
So you see, you got the fullness of reggae music and Rastafari around the same time.
Yeah.
Well, you've been doing amazing works for years and years. I know your work here in San Diego when you were doing work with the Bloodfire Angels, and you started your own collective. You left San Diego and you started your own mission in music. To like, tell us about that. What was going on right there in that time period in your life?
Well, actually, the time I left San Diego, I was in San Diego about 4 to 5 years. Like the I said, in the time that I worked with Jah Blood and Fire Angels formed in them time. I was working with Ross Elliott at Trade Roots, and we started this work on Yami Bolo Revolution album, which was Zion High Productions' first album.
Okay.
Santa Davis and Yami, we started the work. We did all the recording in San Diego, and before it was released, actually, I moved to Miami area.
Okay.
So it was released after I actually had moved and relocated to the Fort Lauderdale, Miami area.
Okay.
Perspective for me in music and culturally otherwise.
Yeah, because there's a lot. There's a heavy West Indian influence, way more so in South Florida than San Diego. Way more.
Much more. It's full of Rastafari people. We have Naya Bingi House. We have Bobo House that are functioning and keep, you know, plenty of events all the time and regular Sabbath services. So I was very involved in that. We have a whole lot of reggae studios, recording studios around. One that I basically linked with immediately was Jam Hill Studio Work in Lauderhill. That was founded by the late great Gary Wong, who I worked with the whole time I was in Fort Lauderdale. And he actually died maybe 2 to 3 years ago.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, very, very great engineer.
Awesome. So your Zionai, so you continued Zionai Kings and then Zionai Productions, and then when did Zionai Kings come into the picture? And tell us a little bit about Zionai Kings as you do that.
No problem. Now, Zionai Kings came into the picture around 2006, 2007. I moved to Florida in 2003.
Okay.
So Zionai Kings is Andrew Moon Bain, who lives in New York, Boston area.
Okay.
And Lauren Chippy Alfred, who lives in St. Croix. Moon and I had been working together even while I was in San Diego. He went to school in Rhode Island, which is where I was born.
Okay.
Along with my musical companion and Rastafari Bridget Jaoya,
yes,
in San Diego. And so Moon and I had been working together even before, you know, like as I was in San Diego.
Okay.
He had formed his label Luster Kings, I think, in around 99, and Zionai Productions, which is my and Ross Elliott's label, was formed 2002.
Okay.
So I was doing work for him, playing bass on his original work for Luster King.
Okay.
And he and I worked together all the way through, you know, basically from like 99 all the way up until the time when the two of I and I met Tippy in 2000. I think he met Tippy a little bit before me in New York.
Okay.
In around 2005. And then the three of I and I got together for like the first Zionai Kings recording session.
Okay.
In St. Croix in 2006.
Oh, wow.
He brought Moon and I to St. Croix, and we spent like a week with Vaughn from, you know, Midnight, Akebeka, building rhythms, voicing tunes with Vaughn, and basically spent, yeah, like, you know, 7 to 9 days or so in the studio straight.
Wow.
Pouring rhythms and working. Yeah.
Awesome.
That was the beginning of that.
Zionai Kings. So it's really like, when we were talking earlier, just to clarify a little bit. So Zionai Kings is basically three individual producers. Tippy, you, and Moon. And collectively, you guys work as Zionai Kings, but you all have all your individual projects, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Our individual projects and individual labels.
Individual projects.
Luster Kings.
Right.
Yeah, Luster Kings is Moon. I Grade Records is Tippy. And Zionai Productions is I and Russ Elliott.
Okay. So you guys know Luster Kings from a lot of Midnight, and you also know I Grade Productions from a lot of Pressure, a Batch, Ross Attitude, a list goes on for I-grade VI artists. So for you guys listening, that's who these people are. So that's what's going on. Now one of my favorite records that came out from the Zionai Kings is Dub in Zion. What a great record.
Yes,
so many awesome rhythms, and just an amazing, really cool Rasta vibe. And how did that record come about? So tell us about that record.
This actually came, this is a Zionai Productions album, so I kind of was the general of this one here. I mixed most of it. I think Tippy mixed one and Moon mixed one or two. But this was basically just an attenuation of the Zion I Kings dub series, which was started in 2015 when Moon on Lesser Kings label released Dub in Style, which was basically one session that I and I did at Top Gun with Style Scott, the three of I and I and Style Scott.
Oh, wow.
And we did some overdubs and then mixed it, dubbed it, and released that. That was the first one. And then Dub in Zion was volume two of the series. So
okay.
The continuation of the Zion I Kings dub series. And you know, basically we just always, all of I and I have been inspired by dub, you know, from the beginning. So you know, the more we get into learning and attempting to master this engineering world or this engineering trade,
uh-huh.
the more we get into to dub as well, and you know, exploring the
because there's so many great dub albums, and it is it's like a science. I mean, and each dub engineer has his own style and his own frequencies and his own signature of how the songs do, and it's a really an amazing genre. And tool of reggae music, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah, man. So, before we get into talking more about dub, what other works does Zion I Kings Productions have going? Is there a Zion and Dub Volume 4, or what's going on with productions?
Actually, there is. There is a Dub in Zion, Zion I Kings Dub Volume 4 that's getting ready. It's actually mastered and cover and everything. It's going to be on my label, Zion High Productions. It'll be out this year. But before that, we have a new album from Archangel that's going to come out on Zion High Productions label, which is my rap idiot works there. Named Nawatadon.
Yeah.
So that will come out first. We don't have a release date yet, but it will be this summer.
He's a great artist. Archangel's doing some amazing stuff. I like his flow. Yeah. I like his style. I like his meditation.
Absolutely. And then Tippy is getting together another Ake Becca album to be released, which is, you know, basically some work he did before he moved forward there.
Right.
And so he's working on that. Moon just released Jadon Blackamore, Upward Spiral, last record.
Like that one.
Yeah. So that's basically what we're working on. I'm also working on an album with Micah Shamaya as well right now. And Jalifa, an EP with Jalifa, who's a great Rastafari daughter from Trinidad.
Wicked. Looking forward to all the works. Yeah. I love all the works. So many great rhythms. His Imperial Majesty rhythm is one of my favorite on the record. So I just love all the dub music. So let's talk a little bit about dub. I'm doing a series on dub, and I'm getting opinions from people in the world of dub, in the dub arena, and find out what dub means to them. So, Jadi, what does dub mean to you?
Dub is probably what made I put down the guitar and take off bass, and really get, you know, fully acquainted with what drumming the bass of reggae music should feel like, and the relationship that they have, you know, with one another, to mm-hmm. one another, and what it can do. The bass line, when stripped down like that, where you just really hear the drum and the bass, and, you know, some little instrumentation going over it, really gives you a no filter, you know, passageway into that frequency, that bass frequency, and it can really speak to you. And that's what happened to I. You know, it really spoke to I with some clarity,
and it just seemed so natural.
You're saying dub music speaks to you in a certain way other music doesn't, and it motivates you in ways that other music doesn't.
Yeah, I mean it's so stripped down. It gives you the raw elements of reggae music in its raw form, and can if you listen carefully, it can even really teach you how to assemble and then disassemble the music itself, like all the little parts. You can hear the percussion come in and come out, and you know, okay, this is how it's supposed to feel when percussion drop out or drop in or bass drop out or forward in or just the bass alone, and you feel the pulse and you can feel it. It's like a tutorial on how to make this music.
How
to put the pieces of the puzzle together and make it merge, you know?
Yeah. It's great. It's great. It provides a certain freedom, you know? Provides a certain freedom that I feel in the music, you know? And dub is getting bigger. And sound system is getting bigger. And what do you think about this, like, to round up some of the conversations, there's like the first wave of dub would be like King Tubby's and Lee Scratch Perry. Second wave would be like Matt Professor and Josh Shaka and Errol Thompson. And the third wave would be people like you and Tippy and Moon and Iron Dubs and Indica Dubs and Vibronix and OBF and Sinai Sound and all these other like amazing Charlotte 58 and all these other amazing artists. What do you think about this new movement of dub?
It's really broad. It's really broad now. It's always been broad. But it's getting even broader in a sense. And when I say that, I mean the demand for it, and then even the little niches, like for instance in Europe and UK, you know, you have this, what is considered dub is basically what people listen to and play on sound system, which is generally steppers in those arenas.
Right, a lot of steppers, for sure.
So this is almost known as dub, but then just like the I just articulated, you know, the first phase, King Tubby and Scratch and forward and into Mad Professor and like you said, Josh Shaka and these different, you know, it's like that's still dub. Those sounds, that one drop, maybe non-steppers, or it may have steppers in it, but it's not necessarily confined to just steppers or a digital drum beat. It may have a natural live drum beat. So
sure.
And this is still dub in 2020. This is still considered dub, whether vintage or made yesterday.
Right.
So, that's why I'm saying it's very broad, because it's just broad. It's big, and it's
spread to every corner. We got big sound systems in Italy, Brazil, Japan, Netherlands. You name it, there's a big sound.
Jeez.
Everywhere
Africa,
across the world.
All throughout Africa.
How can we forget Africa?
We have some throughout Africa, yeah, big sound.
Big sound. Big sound. So I think that's one of the things that we dabbled in it a little bit, and it's never really left the United States, but I think you're going to see a lot more custom-made sound systems and a lot more people playing their own sound systems in that style, UK dub style and old style, Ja Love and Sturgaff style, here in the United States.
Yeah, it's almost like nowadays. It's almost like if it's reggae music and it isn't done in a sound clash or a bashment style, it's like it's dub music basically in 2020. Like if it play on a sound, it's dub music basically. So I mean, you go to Kingston Dub Club and you may hear one and two steppers all night long, maybe.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But all night long, what you hear coming out, the sound and the speakers is still considered dub music in 2020.
Right.
You feel me? So it's even if it's a Dennis Brown.
Yeah.
A Roots Dennis Brown playing. And it's a vocal version, not even a version. So.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. It's broad. What's considered dub in 2020 is a very broad term.
Right, right. And I think a dub in 2020 more encompasses more of the vintage roots reggae, that more so than strictly just dub music. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly, exactly, exactly. That's what people would consider dub, is things that kind of lend themselves to dub, to what we know as vintage dub, which would be like Scratch and
King Tubby, and Aggravators and
yeah,
stuff like that.
But then again, just like we was reasoning, in Europe and in UK, it's really like, you know, the Steppers and what plays in the dance and
yeah, yeah, yeah. I see a lot of these kids mixing the dub and the Steppers really well. The third wave. I see them. It's heartwarming and inspiring. And then on top of all that stuff, the dub lends itself to so much creativity. You can see, like, when you're talking about breaking down a song, analyzing a song, and learning how to do dub while listening to a song. But there's so much creativity involved in dub, and that you can actually hear in the instrumentalism, all the ear candy, the instrumentation and things and effects that they add that really makes it sweet, you know, to me.
It's true. It's true. From effects to overdubs and choice, you know, like overdub choice of instruments, you know, people use indigenous instruments and all types of horns and strings and a real nice things can be done and give it some real different type of textures. You know? And then the effects, like we say, coupled with that, it's a big word.
It's a big wave, and it's coming here. And I'm so glad that you're part of it. You know, I'm going to be adding your music to my mixtapes. I'm doing a whole series of dub mixtapes, and your stuff is going to be on there. And Foundation and Culture Music, and you know, I'm going to include your guys' stuff in there. And you know, I'm just glad that you're part of the scene, and I can't wait to see you on the road with John Nine and all these other amazing artists that you go on the road with, and keep on doing your music. And you know, thank you for all supporting reggae music and doing what you do as a real Foundation Rasta man, you know. So thank you so much, man.
All right. Yeah, give thanks for the call and give thanks for the encouragement, the consideration, and all the support and other things that you have been doing as well for reggae music over the years. Same way. Thanks. I've been knowing you from ever since I've been in Trinity. I've been doing that, and that I'm doing work for reggae music, so give enough thanks.
Yes, I. Well, it's nice to be in this fraternity and brotherhood of reggae music and Rastafari with you. Yeah, man. Well, hey, again, thanks for your time. I want everyone to check out Zion I King, Zion I Productions, Zion and Dub Volumes 1 through 4. 4 is coming out very soon, so just look out for Ja D and Zion I Kings, all right?
Give thanks. That's the fire I love. Give thanks again, Carlos.
Yeah, man.